Chapter 8. Little Grace was everything to me, even when she was a young child herself. Apostrophe, true, puss, true, apostrophe, returned the doctor. She was a staid little woman, was Grace, and a wise housekeeper, and a busy, quiet, pleasant body, bearing with our humors and anticipating our wishes, and always ready to forget her own, even in those times. I never knew you positive or obstinate, Grace, my darling, even then, on any subject but one. Apostrophe, I am afraid I have changed sadly for the worse, since, apostrophe, laughed Grace, still busy at her work. What was that one, father? Apostrophe, Alfred, of course, apostrophe, said the doctor. Nothing would serve you, but you must be called Alfred's wife. So we called you Alfred's wife. And you liked it better, I believe, odd as it seems now, than being called a duchess, if we could have made you one. Apostrophe, indeed? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Grace, placidly. Why, don't you remember? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired the doctor. I think I remember something of it, apostrophe, she returned, but not much. It's so long ago. Apostrophe, and as she sat at work, she hummed the burden of an old song, which the doctor liked. Alfred will find a real wife soon, apostrophe, she said, breaking off, and that will be a happy time indeed for all of us. My 3 years' trust is nearly at an end, Marion. It has been a very easy one. I shall tell Alfred, when I give you back to him, that you have loved him dearly all the time, and that he has never once needed my good services. May I tell him so, love? Apostrophe, tell him, dear Grace, apostrophe, replied Marion, that there never was a trust so generously, nobly, steadfastly discharged, and that I have loved you, all the time, dearer and dearer every day, and oh, how dearly now. Apostrophe, apostrophe, nay, apostrophe, said her cheerful sister, returning her embrace, I can scarcely tell him that. We will leave my deserts to Alfred's imagination. It will be liberal enough, dear Marion, like your own. Apostrophe, with that, she resumed the work she had for a moment laid down, when her sister spoke so fervently. And with it the old song the doctor liked to hear. And the doctor, still reposing in his easy chair, with his slippered feet stretched out before him on the rug, listened to the tune, and beat time on his knee with Alfred's letter, and looked at his two daughters, and thought that among the many trifles of the trifling world, these trifles were agreeable enough. Clemency Newcome, in the meantime, having accomplished her mission and lingered in the room until she had made herself a party to the news, descended to the kitchen, where her coadjutor, Mr. Britton, was regaling after supper, surrounded by such a plentiful collection of bright pot lids, well-scoured saucepans, burnished dinner covers, gleaming kettles, and other tokens of her industrious habits, arranged upon the walls and shelves, that he sat as in the center of a hall of mirrors. The majority did not give forth very flattering portraits of him, certainly, nor were they by any means unanimous in their reflections, as some made him very long-faced, others very broad-faced, some tolerably well-looking, others vastly ill-looking, according to their several manners of reflecting, which were as various, in respect of one fact, as those of so many kinds of men. But they all agreed that in the midst of them sat, quite at his ease, an individual with a pipe in his mouth, and a jug of beer at his elbow, who nodded condescendingly to Clemency, when she stationed herself at the same table. Well, Clemmy, apostrophe, said Britton, how are you by this time, and what's the news? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Clemency told him the news, which he received very graciously. A gracious change had come over Benjamin from head to foot. He was much broader, much redder, much more cheerful, and much jollier in all respects. It seemed as if his face had been tied up in a knot before, and was now untwisted and smoothed out. There'll be another job for Snitchey and Cracks, I suppose, apostrophe, he observed, puffing slowly at his pipe. More witnessing for you and me, perhaps, Clemmy. Apostrophe, apostrophe, lore. " replied his fair companion, with her favorite twist of her favorite joints. "I wish it was me, Britain." "Wish what was you?" "A going to be married," said Clemency. Benjamin took his pipe out of his mouth and laughed heartily. "Yes. You're a likely subject for that," he said. "Poor Clem." Clemency, for her part, laughed as heartily as he, and seemed as much amused by the idea. "Yes," she assented, "I'm a likely subject for that. And I?" "You'll never be married, you know," said Mr. Britton, resuming his pipe. "Don't you think I ever shall, though?" said Clemency, in perfect good faith. Mr. Britton shook his head. "Not a chance of it. Only think," said Clemency. "Well, I suppose you mean to, Britton, one of these days, don't you?" A question so abrupt, upon a subject so momentous, required consideration. After blowing out a great cloud of smoke, and looking at it with his head now on this side and now on that, as if it were actually the question, and he were surveying it in various aspects, Mr. Britton replied that he wasn't altogether clear about it, but he thought he might come to that at last. "I wish her joy, whoever she may be," cried Clemency. "Oh, she'll have that," said Benjamin, "safe enough. But she wouldn't have led quite such a joyful life as she will lead, and wouldn't have had quite such a sociable sort of husband as she will have," said Clemency, spreading herself half over the table, and staring retrospectively at the candle. "If it hadn't been for, not that I went to do it, for it was accidental, I am sure, if it hadn't been for me, now would she, Britain?" "Certainly not," returned Mr. Britton, by this time in that high state of appreciation of his pipe, when a man can open his mouth, but a very little way for speaking purposes, and sitting luxuriously immovable in his chair, can afford to turn only his eyes towards a companion, and that very passively and gravely. "Oh, I'm greatly beholden to you, you know, Clem. Lore, how nice that is to think of," said Clemency. At the same time, bringing her thoughts as well as her sight to bear upon the candle grease, and becoming abruptly reminiscent of its healing qualities as a balsam, she anointed her left elbow with a plentiful application of that remedy. "You see, I've made a good many investigations of one sort and another in my time," pursued Mr. Britton, with the profundity of a sage, having been always of an inquiring turn of mind, "and I've read a good many books about the general rights of things and wrongs of things, for I went into the literary line myself when I began life." "Did you though?" cried the admiring Clemency. "Yes," said Mr. Britton. "I was hit for the best part of 2 years behind a bookstall, ready to fly out if anybody pocketed a volume, and after that, I was light porter to a stay and mantua maker, in which capacity I was employed to carry about, in oilskin baskets, nothing but deceptions which soured my spirits and disturbed my confidence in human nature. And after that, I heard a world of discussions in this house, which soured my spirits fresh, and my opinion after all is, that, as a safe and comfortable sweetener of the same, and as a pleasant guide through life, there's nothing like a nutmeg grater." Clemency was about to offer a suggestion, but he stopped her by anticipating it. "Combined," he added gravely, "with a thimble. Do as you would, you know, and cetera, eh?" Observed Clemency, folding her arms comfortably in her delight at this avowal, and patting her elbows. "Such a shortcut, and it?" "I'm not sure," said Mr. Britton, "that it's what would be considered good philosophy. I've my doubts about that, but it wears well, and saves a quantity of snarling, which the genuine article don't always. Apostrophe, see how you used to go on once, yourself, you know. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Clemency. Ah. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Britton. But the most extraordinary thing, Clemmy, is that I should live to be brought round, through you. That's the strange part of it. Through you. Why, I suppose you haven't so much as half an idea in your head. Apostrophe, Clemency, without taking the least offense, shook it, and laughed and hugged herself, and said, no, she didn't suppose she had. Apostrophe, I'm pretty sure of it, apostrophe, said Mr. Britton. Oh, I dare say you're right, apostrophe, said Clemency. I don't pretend to none. I don't want any. Apostrophe, Benjamin took his pipe from his lips, and laughed till the tears ran down his face. What a natural you are, Clemmy. Apostrophe, he said, shaking his head, with an infinite relish of the joke, and wiping his eyes. Clemency, without the smallest inclination to dispute it, did the like, and laughed as heartily as he. I can't help liking you, apostrophe, said Mr. Britton. You're a regular good creature in your way, so shake hands, Clem. Whatever happens, I'll always take notice of you, and be a friend to you. Apostrophe, will you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, returned Clemency. Well, that's very good of you. Apostrophe, yes, yes, apostrophe, said Mr. Britton, giving her his pipe, to knock the ashes out of it. I'll stand by you. Hark! That's a curious noise. Apostrophe, apostrophe, noise. Apostrophe, apostrophe, repeated Clemency. A footstep outside. Somebody dropping from the wall, it sounded like, apostrophe, said Britton. Are they all abed upstairs? Apostrophe, yes, all abed by this time, apostrophe, she replied. Didn't you hear anything? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no. Apostrophe, they both listened, but heard nothing. I tell you what, apostrophe, said Benjamin, taking down a lantern. I'll have a look round, before I go to bed myself, for satisfaction's sake. Undo the door, while I light this, Clemmy. Apostrophe, Clemency complied briskly, but observed as she did so, that he would only have his walk for his pains, that it was all his fancy, and so forth. Mr. Britton said very likely, apostrophe, but sallied out, nevertheless, armed with the poker, and casting the light of the lantern far and near in all directions. It's as quiet as a churchyard, apostrophe, said Clemency, looking after him, and almost as ghostly too. Apostrophe, apostrophe, glancing back into the kitchen, she cried fearfully, as a light figure stole into her view, what's that? Apostrophe, apostrophe, hush. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Marion in an agitated whisper. You have always loved me, have you not? Apostrophe, apostrophe, loved you, child. You may be sure I have. Apostrophe, I am sure. And I may trust you, may I not? There is no one else just now, in whom I can trust. Apostrophe, yes, apostrophe, said Clemency, with all her heart. There is someone out there, apostrophe, pointing to the door, whom I must see, and speak with, tonight. Michael Warden, for God's sake retire. Not now. Apostrophe, Clemency started with surprise and trouble as, following the direction of the speaker's eyes, she saw a dark figure standing in the doorway. In another moment you may be discovered, apostrophe, said Marion. Not now. Wait, if you can, in some concealment. I will come presently. Apostrophe, he waved his hand to her, and was gone. Don't go to bed. Wait here for me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Marion, hurriedly. I have been seeking to speak to you for an hour past. Oh, be true to me. Apostrophe, eagerly seizing her bewildered hand, and pressing it with both her own to her breast, an action more expressive, in its passion of entreaty, than the most eloquent appeal in words, Marion withdrew, as the light of the returning lantern flashed into the room. All still and peaceable. Nobody there. fancy, I suppose, apostrophe said Mr. Britton, as he locked and barred the door. One of the effects of having a lively imagination. Halloa! Why, what's the matter? Apostrophe, Clemency, who could not conceal the effects of her surprise and concern, was sitting in a chair, pale, and trembling from head to foot. Matter! Apostrophe, apostrophe, she repeated, chafing her hands and elbows, nervously, and looking anywhere but at him. That's good in you, Britton, that is. After going and frightening one out of one's life with noises and lanterns, and I don't know what all. Matter. Oh, yes. Apostrophe, if you're frightened out of your life by a lantern, Clemmy, apostrophe said Mr. Britton, composedly blowing it out and hanging it up again, that apparitions very soon got rid of. But you're as bold as brass in general, apostrophe he said, stopping to observe her, and were, after the noise and the lantern too. What have you taken into your head? Not an idea, eh? Apostrophe, but, as Clemency bade him good night very much after her usual fashion, and began to bustle about with a show of going to bed herself immediately, little Britton, after giving utterance to the original remark that it was impossible to account for a woman's whims, bade her good night in return, and taking up his candle strolled drowsily away to bed. When all was quiet, Marion returned. Open the door, apostrophe she said, and stand there close beside me, while I speak to him, outside. Apostrophe, timid as her manner was, it still evinced a resolute and settled purpose, such as Clemency could not resist. She softly unbarred the door, but before turning the key, looked round on the young Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.